Our first scripture reading is from the Hebrew Bible, found on page 592 in your Pew Bible. If you want to follow along, it's Isaiah 1, 1 and 10 to 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more, bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Then we'll jump down to verses 8 through 16. It can be found on page 211 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Hear these words. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors receive approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in a land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he had considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confess that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of a land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, He has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. We've been going through a lot of these stories and we continue. If you have the opportunity, as always, I encourage you to follow along in your pew Bible, and you'll find it on page 70. So hear these words, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Be dressed for action and have your lamp lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let the house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those Sundays when you pretty much can't go wrong. There are so many good stories, so many good thoughts. But I think if you tried to boil it down, if you wanted the sound bite, here's a couple. And they come from both the epistle and from the gospel. Highlights. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then from the gospel, be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. It seems to me that when you boil all this down, today's lessons are really about faith and preparation. Jesus is urging each of us to be ready with faith. And in a highly practical vein, each of us as 21st century Christians really ought to take this to heart. We need to be ready for whatever life has to throw at us. I may have told you this story before, but I think it probably bears repeating this morning. Jane and Zach and I spent some time this summer at Grand Canyon National Park and also at Rocky Mountain National Park, and it brought this idea back to my mind. For those 22 years that I was a park ranger, we would often practice what became known as the what-if game. The what-if game is when park rangers sit around and they think and they talk about all of the possible outcomes of a particular situation and about how they're going to respond should it happen. Let me give you an example. When I was a ranger down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon at Phantom Ranch, we'd often talk about what happens when a hiker is dehydrated and in distress when they're hiking from the rim down to the Colorado River. Well, we'd sit around and we'd talk about how we would communicate to each other via the park radio. We would talk about who would take charge of the situation. Who would grab the litter? Who would grab the first aid kit? Who would grab the several liters of Gatorade that we had in our refrigerator? We talk about how we would approach that hiker, about what questions needed to be asked right away, and then how we'd hike that patient back down to the ranger station and how we would try to revive that patient. Well, you may have heard of this kind of thing before. Athletes do it often, and they call it visualization. An athlete will often see themselves in a specific situation in their mind's eye, and they will practice in their minds what they will then do in reality. Well, for park rangers, all of this talk was really important preparation for the eventuality of a rescue. This was a situation that we knew would happen. It wasn't a question of whether or not we'd be called out on a rescue. It was a question of when and where. After that discussion, we would then prepare our rescue packs and all of our gear, and we'd set it up at the door to the ranger station so we'd be ready pretty much at a moment's notice. Well, when I first began this job, all this talk about rescues really scared me. It can be frightening to think about what might happen. But as we talked and prepared and practiced and played the what-if game, there was really comfort and security in the realization that we were pretty much ready for whatever it was that would come up. Well, I believe that the same things can and should be said about our life in general. God calls people of faith to be prepared for whatever life has to throw at them. Good times and bad, times of prosperity, times of poverty, times of life and times of death, times of security and times of mystery, times of good health and times of horrific disease. As Christian disciples, we need to be prepared. And I believe that preparation consists in large measure of building up our individual and our collective faith in Jesus Christ. Crisis is not the time to plan. Faith and a strong relationship with Christ must be built and grown and nurtured over a long time, just as human relationships must be grown and nurtured over time. You've probably seen it in the movies, the deathbed conversions, the confessions of faith. That makes for a good plot, but it doesn't make for a solid and valuable spiritual life. We should also not be scared into faith. We should not be pushed into a relationship with Jesus Christ because we're afraid of hellfire and eternal damnation. No, we should be invited and enticed and encouraged to grow into our faith. And now is the time for you to take that next step. In the Gospels, Jesus often talks about the kingdom of God and all the good and valuable elements of that new reality. But he also speaks today about the unexpected hour of the return of the Son of Man. This kind of talk should not bring fear to our hearts, but a sense of urgency is important in human nature. Think about the rich man and the bigger barns he was going to build last week in the lesson. The man who is being called home to heaven that very night. We should not put off until tomorrow what rightly ought to be worked on today. God does not wait until tomorrow to love you. So you ought to love God in return right here and right now and put that love into action today. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the nature of your faith in God. These are the situations that you should imagine, the what-if game, if you will, these outcomes that don't necessarily make sense and likely go completely against human logic, if only because they are part of the future of God's kingdom. Faith dictates that you should believe in Jesus Christ and in God's shalom. That's peace with justice for all the people throughout the earth. Security and peace for all people. Faith means that you live with your body and your heart and your mind being in this world, but at the same time with your heart and mind being of God's kingdom. Faith means that you are forgiven of all your sins and washed clean by Jesus' death and resurrection. Faith means that you should live what you pray when you say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Faith means that you do not need to live in fear, but rather that you can live boldly and joyfully in God's grace. You can be prepared for any eventuality because you know that Jesus is always walking with you. Be ready with faith. Shalom. Amen.